T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
Landfill, don't you hate Sublime, but you like that song?
Is that, no, I don't like that song at all. We got to play something.
Do you hate Sublime?
Yeah, their music's terrible.
I don't agree with you at all, but here we are. You still play it. Fact or fiction?
People only fiction. Like them because it was the 90s and like, oh, they're talking about weed. You're not edgy.
Nah, man.
Their music sucks.
The music does not suck. You're incorrect. You're incorrect. Oh, fiction. Boy. I tell you, that is fiction. All right. Well, it's time for Fact or Fiction. And Landfill, fire away, dude.
All right. We are talking to here's a clip of a that threw me off a little bit because I'm still angry about Sublime.
All right. Well, let's tell everybody what Fact or Fiction is.
I'm going to play some audio, and then you guys are going to determine whether or not the person has made a fictitious or a factual statement, essentially.
Got it.
All right, here we go. The former NFL player here, Le'Veon Bell.
It's conception about me with the whole weed thing. But, like, looking back on it, it's like, bro, like, that's what I did. Like, you know, when I was playing football, I smoked, bro. Like, I was, even before the games, I smoked. And I'd go out there and run for 150, two tubs.
In the NFL?
Yeah.
All right, fact or fiction. Le'Veon Bell would smoke weed and then run for 150 yards and two tuds. Fact.
Yeah, I believe it. I don't know why he would make it up. I think people dramatically underestimate how much weed smoking there is in the NFL. I mean, think about in the latest, they got a 10-year CBA done. They got a 10-year labor ownership agreement done. And while it wasn't like the biggest talking point, because I don't think players wanted it to be presented as such, one of the absolute biggest bargaining chips the owners had in that labor deal was getting rid of weed testing.
Yeah.
And from a pain management standpoint, I remember having, I think he said it on the record, but I don't want to out the person just in case they didn't. I remember talking with a player that played through a lot, and he basically laid out, like, you think it's better for me to smoke blunts or to take Oxycontin?
Oxycontin is way worse, way more.
Way worse, man.
And I think that's the whole thing about it. Like, many people like to make comments about athletes just because they're athletes.
And AB and JP, just as y'all marijuana professional on the show, anytime a smoker say, I smoke, oh, you better believe everything they saying at that moment. Because it's not even what he said, it's how he said it. He said, I smoke, bro. He's a user. He's still using to this day.
But the thing of it, I think so many people.
We're all agreeing with that, though.
So many people make the comments based off of a guy being an athlete. But you're a parent, and you probably smoke weed and do other stuff, too. And other people out there are the doctors want to give you all these damn narcotics that you get addicted to that make you don't feel something, so you hurt yourself even more. So, I mean, don't act like guys didn't do it. But I heard people talking about this, Le'Veon Bell saying that, man, how can you perform? And all this stuff. I'm like, man, if you never performed, don't ask dumb questions.
Yeah, I mean, when I was a real smoker, like in college, when I was smoking a lot, it was just life. Like, it wasn't like I have to do this or I don't. It was just, I'm going to get baked and then I'll go do that. You know what I mean? Like, it was just, I find it interesting you would get stoned before a game, but I believe it completely. I think we're going to look back seriously at I mean, there's obviously some grave and terrible periods of injustice and poor decision-making in our nation's history, right? Like, obviously. But I think we're going to look back at whatever that time period was, be, say, 2000 to 2015, roughly, mm-hmm. something like that, at the extreme rise of opioid pills that doctors were just giving out, and then they became, you know, black market, and now there's fentanyl and all this other terrible stuff. At the extreme rise of that, countered with sending people to jail for weed, and now it seems like the world is finally like, oh my God, we've got this completely backwards. But that period of time, I think, will be one of the great mishandling of drug policy in America.
Yeah, people think it's backwards, but still, I think they still hold everything. They only hold the athlete accountable.
Totally.
Because let's be real. At one point, with the drug trade around here, they were selling more stuff on Capitol Hill than they were selling every damn where else.
Right.
You know? Right. And I'm not saying Capitol Hill departments, at the people that's working on Capitol Hill.
All right, let's get to our next one, Landini.
All right, now I believe we are going down to New Orleans.
Uh-oh.
There's a player there who still thinks he can be a starter in the league. It's Jameis Winston. Here is what he had to say.
Oh, no, the preparation stays the same. You know, I'm still preparing for whenever my opportunity does present itself, because I still believe I'm a starting quarterback in this league. But right now my role is to serve Derek and be the best teammate I can to with my role on this team.
So fact or fiction, Jameis Winston can still be a starting quarterback in this league.
Yes. Hey.
I bet he will be. Like, I bet he'll start more games. I think what I certainly agree with is that he should think that. Because if he doesn't think that, he should quit. Like, every player that has a football uniform on this week at OTAs all across the country has to believe that they should be the starter.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, they're broken. They're mentally broken before they even get started.
Yeah.
Now, I don't think Jameis, you know, that threshold we kind of talked about where you got to be Kirk Cousins or greater, like, I don't know that he ever cracks that. Although, when he had the 1 year with Sean Payton before the injury, he was playing pretty well. So, I wouldn't rule it out. Guy's got serious talent, but I don't know. Fact.
All right, and lastly today, we are coming back, or I guess we're going out to Ashburn. We have a statement from Ron Rivera about some young offensive linemen, and maybe one guy who's not really that young anymore.
Well, I think most of anything else is we got a group of young guys that, as they develop and come through, I think they're going to be very good. I really do. I think we've got some guys that are going to come into their own. I think Sam Cosmi is a young man that's got an opportunity to really grow and show us what he's worth. I think Sadiq Charles has that ability as well, as does Chris Paul. I mean, those are three young guys that, you know, we are counting on to take another step, and I think they can. I'm very confident in what I've seen so far. And the truth of the matter, though, is we're not in pads. You know, so right now we're just seeing skill sets more than we are in terms of the physical ability of the position.
All right, so fact or fiction, Chris Paul, Sam Cosmi, and Sadiq Charles, who is going into his fifth NFL season, can make a difference, can really take a step forward for the Commanders.
I think Cosmi can. I can't say I know for sure about the other.
I think Cosmi can. Got to stay healthy. I fear that it's fiction at that left guard spot. I was texting with somebody last night. Think about the decision that was made out here to let Sheriff walk. They basically swapped with the Jaguars on Norwell. The mm-hmm. Jaguars got Sheriff. Washington got Norwell. The Jaguars won their division, had a top 10 run game and pass game, and the Commanders did not. And I mean,
yeah, they won that.
Yeah, they won that one pretty convincing. I have a lot of questions about the left guard spot, and I worry about the center, the right guard, and the right tackle staying healthy. But besides that, you know, good to go. I think that's some fiction. I think that's – I don't know that it's
fiction.
That's
that Fugazi.
It is. You know what that is? That is May football hoping. That is what that is. Yeah. I hope by the time we get to September, we're ready to roll. You got any more, Landini? I love Factor Fiction.
That's all I got for today.
Okay. There is so much BS in the world. I feel like we could do Factor Fiction every day.
We could. About
There's
everything.
A lot of it floating around. I did want to do this, though, Mullins, if we still have time. Sam Howell spoke with reporters out here in Ashburn, and I think it's important for fans to kind of get to hear all of it, not just snippets, but, like, this is presumably your starting quarterback. Let's get to Noel.
He's very hard on us, and he sets a high standard, as you guys can probably tell by being out here at practice. But, you know, that's what we want. You know, we want to be coached hard, and we want to play for someone that has a high standard. And it's been good. You know, obviously it's a really good system, and I think it'll be a good way for us to use the weapons that we have. We have a lot of really good weapons, so I'm excited.
You mentioned that. Just expand on it, of how you feed off of EB, the vocalness, the energy that he brings to the field, to the offense.
Yeah, for sure. He brings that energy every single day, and we try to feed off of that, and we try to bring our own energy as well. And we try to come out to practice every day and get ready to go and have the right mindset. And we're just trying to follow EB's lead, and he's doing a really good job.
What's the biggest thing you try to work on in the offseason? How do you see it transition?
Yeah, I mean, I think the main thing, you know, I'm always just trying to become the best version of myself, and I evaluate every single part of my game, and I try to get a little bit better in every single area. Really the main focus has been trying to learn this playbook. And you know, it's kind of a wordy system, but it's a really good system, and I've loved it so far, and I've enjoyed being in there and learning the new system and watching the film and studying what they were doing in Kansas City. And obviously they're doing a really good job, and you know, we're trying to come out here and get better at the system each and every day, and we're making some really good progress, so I'm excited.
There was a lot of focus on footwork and how different it is. How much of a factor or emphasis was that for you in the offseason, and where do you feel better?
Yeah, I mean, I feel like I'm a lot better. You know, I try to get better every single year, especially when I have a long break like that. And being back with my quarterback coach, Anthony Boone, back home, he did a really good job. And really kind of before I got here and got the, because I really couldn't learn anything until I got here. Once I knew we had EB, I was kind of watching Kansas City film and kind of seeing what they were doing. And so I feel like I was able to kind of match my footwork up to what they're doing in Kansas City. And I feel like I'm matching up pretty well out here.
That's quite the guy to be watching.
Pat, obviously he's a heck of a player. So much respect for him and what they're able to do in Kansas City, and it's been a lot of fun because, I mean, that's all the film we watch is what they're doing in Kansas City, so it's been fun to watch, and he's definitely a great one to look at.
How was it working with Tavita?
Yeah, Tavita's awesome. He's a great coach. Obviously, I didn't know him before he came. Obviously, he came from college, and he's done a really good job. He's very detailed, and he comes in every single day with a plan, and he just tries to do everything he can to make sure we come on the field prepared. He's just done a great job, and he's a great guy as well. Fun to be around, and he's doing a really good job.
Do you find it helpful to have a positional coach that has played the position, even if not at, you know, the NFL, but at a high level in college?
Yeah, I mean, I think that definitely can help at times, obviously, because they've been behind the center, and they know what it's like to be back there and play. So definitely he can speak from his past experience. He played a lot in college, so that definitely is a big advantage. Yeah, obviously it's awesome. You know, it's a great opportunity for me, and I'm just super blessed to be in the position I am. I think a lot of people probably wouldn't have expected this outcome, but I'm just going to try to do everything I can to just take this opportunity and just try to take advantage of it. And I'm going to give this team and give this organization everything that I have, and just try to do everything I can to help this team win.
Having a veteran like Jacoby Brissett in that room.
Yeah, Jacoby's awesome. Me and him have become really good friends, and he's just a great, great guy. He's been through so much in his career. He's seen a lot, and he spent some time with a lot of different teams. He was in New England for a long time with Brady, and so he just has so many stories and so much insight that he can share. And he's been great to have here, and he helps a lot.
How do you feel like you've progressed as a leader?
I think I just have a different role than last year. I think the leadership's always been inside of me. Just last year, you know, with the position I was in, it wasn't my job to come out here and, you know, try to get guys ready to go. But I mean, definitely just stepping into this year in a new role, it's my job to get the guys going and take command of this team. And so it's something that I'm always trying to improve. But obviously it's just a different role for me this year, and I have a lot more to do when I'm on the field, and I got to take control of the offense.
Ron was mentioning that he mics you up. What's that been like for you?
Yeah, it's been fun. You know, I'm mic'd up when I'm saying the play calls and at the line of scrimmage, so it's been fun. I mean, it's a good opportunity for me to learn and hear what I sound like, because it's something I really never heard before. But, yeah, it is. When they first said they were going to do it, I was kind of shocked because I've never heard of somebody doing it. But I think it's a great idea, and it's definitely been fun to hear their feedback and stuff like that.
What kind of feedback? Have you changed anything after listening to yourself?
Yeah, I mean, we Coach EB says it all the time to over communicate clarity. And so just trying to over communicate at the line of scrimmage with the O line and stuff like that. And just if I need saying one more word, one more code word that means something that they need to hear. So just to try to make sure we're all on the same page.
It seems like the fan base has really rallied around you. Have you felt that, and what does that mean?
Yeah, it's been awesome, especially with the fans out here. You know, it's been a lot of fun. But you know, I'm just super blessed that people are supporting me. Obviously, I really don't think I've deserved anything at this point. But I am super thankful to the fans. They've been awesome to me. Yeah, for sure. So my quarterback coach back home, Anthony Boone, that's a really big thing that he focuses on is making those off-platform throws, just because everyone knows in this game you're not going to be sitting back there in a clean pocket most of the time. You're going to be trying to avoid a guy and try to make a throw. So you're going to be off-platform a lot. So that's something that we focus on back home when I'm home training. And even while I was here last year with Coach Zampezi, he did a really good job of that stuff. And he's really good at the fundamental side of the game. And when we get some any time here with Tevita, obviously we haven't had much time, just only I think this is what our fifth practice, but so we try to squeeze some of that stuff in as well. But I've had some awesome coaches in my life, and it's just, you know, it's just been awesome to be a part of. Yeah, I mean, I'm always going to try to, you know, I'm gonna be Sam Howe. You know, I'm not going to try to be anybody else. Obviously, you know, I watch the film, and I think Patrick does a heck of a job. He excels on extending the play and making those off-platform throws. And, you know, I think I'm capable of, you know, making plays myself. I don't try to go out there and be anybody else. I try to go out there and be the best version of myself. Yeah, I mean, he's just coaching. I go back there almost always after we finish, like, a rack of plays, and we kind of just talk through the plays. He asked me what I saw, and if there's one play he didn't agree with my decision, he tells me. So we kind of go from there. But I just love being coached, and I love that he does that type of stuff, because I always want feedback. I tell them that all the time, to coach me hard. I want to be coached hard, so it's been fun.
Is that before the stretching or after? He came up to you during the stretching.
Yeah, he came stretching as well, but after a couple – yeah, after a couple, like, possessions, he would call me back, like, why Jacoby went in and stuff like that. But we're always in constant communication throughout the practice, just so we can get on the same page.
All right, thanks, Sam.
Cool, thanks, guys.
Thanks, Sam.
Humble kid there, B. Mitch. What'd you think?
I mean, I think he's doing the right thing. He's not worried about stuff he can't control. And I think he needs to keep being that way, because ultimately, you know, everybody's an expert outside of the building. They don't know exactly what the coaches are expecting him to do. And I think if he's impressing the coaches, that's all he needs to be concerned about right now.
Yep. I thought it was very valid and relevant that he pointed out, like, yeah, we've had like five practices, you know?
Yeah.
Everybody's convinced that this thing should be moving along. With NFL rules, that means he has – now – I'm not suggesting that perhaps there hasn't been some off-record communication, but, like, per the rules, Eric Bieniemy has been able to coach him on offense five times.
Yeah.
So, like, keep that in mind with expectations here.
But see, that's the whole thing about it, though, Jay. Those are not going to stay in line with expectations, because we report on every other throw, every throw basically sometimes, and I think that's where when certain people say certain things, especially in the way that we say it, we're basically telling someone what we believe or don't believe. You know what I mean? And that's what people react upon.
I'm with you there. Nats have been out west. They've been playing late night games. Kind of treading water. Let's check in with our guy Bobby Blanco from Masson Sports on what's going on with the Nats and what's going on possibly with one of their top prospects. Don't go anywhere. It's B. Mitch and Finley.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the pitch, hit, and run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
If we're in studio Friday, he wants to bring us food. I said yes. Is that right?
No.
Okay, well, I am, Scotty. I got this tweet from Tony Toss Lucas, and I know we got to get to Bobby, but I got to let B hear this. Tony says, I'm hearing a lot of rumors that EB is screaming unnecessarily. I'm all for a coach screaming and yelling when it's necessary, but the word is he is doing it damn near every play. That will get old quickly, especially if you're not winning.
Well, if it get old and you're not winning, guess what? You probably won't be here to listen. So let's be
real. Also, it's not every play. I mean, there's a coach out there barking, but it's not, like, constant.
Every fan wants this team to change what it's been doing. But they want to keep all the same stupid stuff that's been going on. It's time for a change. Point blank.
Comfort is the enemy of progress. All right. Now, let's get to the BetQL guest line. Talk to our guy, Bobby Blanco, covers the Nationals for Masson Sports. Bobby, what's up, buddy? How you doing?
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me on. I want my offensive coordinator yelling at my guys, making sure they're doing the right things.
Hell yeah. All day, every day.
Yeah. Exactly. Honestly, like, baseball's a different sport. You got 160 games. If the manager and the, you know, position coaches need to chill a little bit, I understand it. But it's pro sports, man. Yelling is part of it. Let's talk about the sport you cover and the Nationals. We're getting to a point here where I think they're still ahead of some of the win-loss pace stuff, at least the win totals from Vegas. But we're starting to creep here towards 10 games under 500. Right now they're 9 games under 500 on this West Coast swing, playing the Dodgers. They've lost 2. They got an early one today. Where are we at? How are we feeling about how are we feeling in Natstown?
Yeah, well, it's after Memorial Day weekend, so we're one-third of the way done with the season, which is pretty crazy. And, yeah, they're on a 69-game-ish win pace. I'm not sure where Vegas had them start the season. I don't really remember, but that's a 14-game improvement over 55 wins from last year. So I think that's a major upside. They're pitching, again, you know, you see before the L.A. series, you had Josiah Gray and Mackenzie Gore going against Kansas City. And in the game that Mackenzie Gore started, he struck out a career-high 11, had them in position to win, and they couldn't pull off the sweep. So it's also kind of just tough timing right now that you don't have two of your best pitchers, young pitchers, going up against the Dodgers, who are the best team in the National League right now, one of the best teams in baseball, obviously going to be a World Series favorite. So it's kind of a tough series for them right now to end this road trip with not their two best starters, but maybe Patrick Corbin. We've talked about him before. He's been pitching better for him as of late. Maybe he can keep them in the game late and they can pull off and avoid the sweep later today. But overall, with the pace that they're going at right now, look, they're a lot better. I think they're like 30 plus 30 in their run differential where they are right now versus at this point last year. That's a major improvement as well. So it's definitely a better season so far. And you can tell the guys are having more fun this year.
Has pitching been the biggest problem or the hitting?
I think the pitch, both. it's hitting with runners in scoring position. Almost every time the Nats lose a game, one of the things I look at is how many runners they leave on base, where they go with runners in scoring position, and usually that'll tell you how that game went. When they leave a lot of guys on, because again, they're not going to hit a lot of home runs, right? So they're main offense is getting guys on base, which they do really well, hitting for average, which I think they're top half, if not top 10 in the league in overall batting average. But the driving them in part is going to be the tough part for them. And when they do that, they usually come away with wins or at least close games. When they don't do that, they leave a lot of opportunities to be desired. That's when you see a lot of losses coming in. And then the pitching, it's more now the bullpen and their B guys as opposed to their starting rotation. They had the worst rotation last year. It almost always was if their starters didn't give them a quality start, they had no chance. They're getting quality starts this year. But when Carl Edwards Jr., Hunter Harvey, and or Kyle Finnegan aren't available on a given day and they have to turn to other guys, like we saw last night with Andres Machado having to pitch 2 innings over the weekend, we saw Thad Ward has to go a couple of extra innings when those guys are in the games, it's usually not. It's either that the game's already out of reach or we might be walking on eggshells right here because it's going to get a little itchy.
Bobby, I think talking with our friend Bobby Blanco from Masson Sports, you can give him a follow on social media at Bobby_Blanco. Gore, for me, the things I'm most excited about are Gore and Gray, G and G, right? Mm-hmm. Is that a possible, like, 1 and 2 in a really good rotation? Because when the Nats have been good, and as much as the last couple of years have sucked, they've been really good in the past, and they were always led by elite starting pitching. Like, how good are those two guys?
They're good. They're really good. I think last time, maybe a couple of weeks ago when we talked, you know, I was saying that Mackenzie Gore is the one that has ace, number one in a good rotation stuff. And we saw that on Sunday in Kansas City. Again, career high, 11 strikeouts. Even when he ended up giving up a home run, he came back and struck out the next two guys. When he is on, his stuff is nasty, and he can be one of the best pitchers in any rotation. And for this rotation specifically, the ace. When it comes to Josiah Gray, he has really great stuff too. But I think after a rocky last year where it was his first full season in the bigs, you can tell that he got fatigued at the end of the season. After that, I think maybe the narrative switched for him, being like, maybe he could be a middle-of-the-pack starter in a really good rotation. But the way he started this year, he could be the number two guy. He could be that number two guy behind Mackenzie Gore. I'll be curious to see. I mean, it's technically not even June yet, but we're a month and a half away from the All-Star break. I'll be curious to see how Davey Martinez resets his rotation after the All-Star break. Because the way it's set up right now is Patrick Corbin's the number one guy, Josiah Gray number two, and Mackenzie Gore three. I'm curious to see if he wants to bump up Mackenzie Gore to that number one spot, because when he is on, he's been their best pitcher. Now, Josiah Gray has been more consistent this season, so you can make the argument that he's been their best pitcher, but you can tell, you go side to side, when Mackenzie pitches like he did on Sunday, or when he did like he did like a month ago in New York against the Mets, Mackenzie's probably going to be the best pitcher on the staff. And then you have Josiah Gray behind him, and then you would have a Kate Cavalli, a former first-round pick, and then maybe a Jake Irvin or Cole Henry, whoever it may be. But, yes, Mackenzie and Josiah can lead, be a 1-2 punch on top of a really good rotation. Hmm.
So that is good to hear, man. Like, I believe in Mike Rizzo. I fear we may get to a point where I'm actually writing Mike Rizzo's name down to be president. Like, I believe in Mike Rizzo, the human. I believe in Mike Rizzo, the GM, and as you start to see the pieces come together of this rebuild, I like Gore and Gray a lot. I don't know if some of these young guys have the bats we were told they might, but let's talk about James Wood, the kid in the minors. They just moved him up to Harrisburg, I believe. Harrisburg physically isn't far, but it also isn't far to that, but let's get us up to speed on James Wood, who he is, the kind of hitter he is, all of it.
Yeah, James Wood, I mean, he's a local guy. Started in high school at St. John's, grew up, you know, going to national games at Nats Park, transferred to IMG Academy, of course, came over in that trade last year for Juan Soto and Josh Bell.
Was he the star of that trade? I know that there were a number of big prospects, but he was a big deal, right?
I would think Mackenzie was the big deal. Just because Mackenzie was the closest to being major league ready. But in terms of prospect, it's kind of funny. At the time, it was actually Robert Hassel III was the big deal. He was, I think, the Dodgers' top prospect at the time when the trade went down. Over the end of last season, Hassel has dealt with some injuries. He's at Double A too right now. But James Wood has skyrocketed. He was in a couple of top 100 prospect rankings last year. Wow. He's in like everyone's top 10 right now. I mean, he is just flown up the charts. And, you know, it was exciting. I mean, they're actually playing in Bowie this weekend. So if you have a chance, go watch. I was actually there yesterday talking to James and Robert Hassel and a bunch of their guys, the Senators. So they're here throughout the weekend, the 6-game series. So if anyone is, you know, around and can go out to Bowie, Maryland, go watch some of these guys. because this is the first time you're going to see James Wood and Robert Hassel III play in the same outfield at an affiliate. But last night was the first time that they have played in the same affiliate, in the same game, in the same outfield together. And that's pretty exciting to see that that could be the potential two-thirds of the next winning Nationals team outfield. They didn't have a great night at the plate. This is only James's first taste of Double A. He's only now played in two games. I think his first game was on Sunday. So, you know, give him some time there. But if James can figure out a way, and I believe I heard Mark Zuckerman saying this on Grand Dan yesterday, if James can progress the way he is right now, if, let's say he, because he flew through Wilmington, high A-ball, and he probably should have been there at the end of last season. But if he can continue this progression, destroy Double A-ball, this is a big if. It's not a for sure thing, but if he can, get to Triple A by August sometime. He's putting himself on a path that there is a door that's slightly open for him to make September. His major league debut by the end of the summer. Mm. Yeah.
Like a September call-up, right? They're not going to be hunting for the wild card.
No, they're not. But, I mean, but it's like, why, you know, let's give him something to talk about. Let's bring up James Wood. If he earns it, right? I'm not saying that's a definite thing, but if he does, I mean, that's pretty exciting because he's a left-handed power bat. He hits the top of the lineup. He's been hitting second or third mostly, and he's driving guys in. He had an unreal week last week, his last week at high A ball, just hitting a bunch of home runs and driving in runs. So he's that kind of impact bat, and he can play all three outfield positions at a high level.
Bobby out here quoting Bonnie Raitt. I wasn't expecting that. So I'll tell you, it's fun listening to you talk about Bowie and Harrisburg because I remember – with my boy Jimmy Miller, we drove up to Harrisburg to watch Strasburg. And I remember with a bunch of guys, we went out to Bowie to watch Harper. I guess Harper was playing for Hagerstown then, and they came to play in Bowie. And now none of these prospects are the megawatt star prospects that Strasburg and Harper were. But baseball, when you're watching bad teams, but you can kind of invest and believe in the future, and you start talking about these kids in the minors – it gets romantic, man, and it gets to be something really cool to keep an eye on. So, dude, if you go to watch that this weekend, holler at me. Let me know how it goes.
Yeah, unfortunately, I wasn't able to stay for the last night game because I had to get back and help cover a 10 o'clock game. But, yeah, I'm hoping to get back maybe a couple other games because, unfortunately, Harrisburg only comes to Bowie, like, I think, like twice a season. So the next time they're back is maybe in August, and James might be not there anymore.
That's true. Might be seeing him at the big park. Bobby, thank you for your time, man. We appreciate always appreciate you, Bobby.
It. Yeah, guys, have a good day. Thanks for having me on.
Hi, bro.
That's our guy, Bobby Blanco. Check him out at Bobby_Blanco. When we return, got to make some bets, and I got some good news about a Terp prospect. Don't go anywhere. Start me up. B. Mitchell Finley, 106.7, The Fan. Busy, busy day. Busy, busy week coming up. B, I thought this was pretty cool. So Maryland signed this kid, Deshaun Harris Smith. He is an incoming freshman, played his college hoops at Paul VI. Local guy, obviously, was WCAC Player of the Year, All-Met Player of the Year. Virginia Player of the Year. He was a Naismith High School All-American. If I had to guess, he's Capital Hoops Player of the Year, my boy Mark's site. He just got selected to join the under-19 Team USA men's national team. Practice starts in about 2 weeks out in Colorado. Okay, so I guess he's one of 35 players trying out for the 12-member team.
Okay.
That's pretty neat, though.
Yeah. You got invited? Hell, people can say, oh, he ain't that good. They didn't get invited.
Right.
No.
I mean, local kid getting invited to this.
There's a lot.
Yeah, and he's on the real young end of the guys that are invited to this. I'm trying to look. There's some, like, college – there's some kids that are going to be college sophomores, I think. I mean, there's some 19-year-olds. Damn, there's a 16-year-old. How good do you think this kid, Ace Bailey, is that he's 16 and getting invited to try out for this?
He's the truth.
I mean, I never heard of him, but if he's 16 and getting invited, he must be doing something right.
Exactly.
Man. Yo, but this kid, Deshaun Harris Smith, is from Fairfax. He's only 18 years old and getting invited to this thing.
That's good stuff.
Yeah. So there's, you know, a 16-year-old, which is just bananas, and then a handful of 17-year-olds. A lot of talent in that hoop world. I'm glad Maryland's keeping some of these fellas at home. Landfill, does it make you mad that I'm counting a Fairfax kid as staying at home playing for Maryland?
Nope.
All right, good. Landfill, scale of 1 to 10, how much do you love when we talk Maryland basketball, especially in May?
Oh, Maryland basketball, that's just that's what I live for. It gets me up in the morning.
You're lying.
During any dark moments, I just think, man, I can't wait to hear about Terps basketball, baby.
Well, I love Terps basketball. And you know what? Tomorrow is going to be a heavy hockey day. So buckle up for it. We get the introduction of the new Caps coach, Spencer Carberry. Is that correct? I want to get the name.
If we let Nate say it, it's Spencer Cadbury.
Yeah, right?
The damn Easter egg guy.
I could be wrong on this. I believe today is the 5-year anniversary of the Caps winning the cup. That's pretty damn cool. That was a fun cup run, man.
That it was.
All right. Every day we make bets. We call it Heard It Here First. Lego. Jeffrey.
All right, so last night the show had a great night as everyone hit their bets last night. Make some noise. Come on, Landfill, give me some
noise. Hell yeah.
However, I am sitting in first place, and you all are sitting in second.
How is that?
Because I hit a parlay. I only hit a one bet. And tonight, my parlay, I'm taking
What was your parlay yesterday?
My parlay was the Mets winning and the Atlanta Dream. And they both did their due diligence. And I'm going to take the Mets +1.5 and the Yankees +1.5 tonight.
Glad you're doing that. You're going to lose.
Hater.
All right. What do you think, Professor Landini?
I am going back to France. Because why wouldn't you?
I mean, it's a nice country. Great cheese.
Sure. They have nice tennis courts, too, apparently. I'm taking Nicholas Jarry.
I've never heard of Nicholas Jarry.
Neither have I, but I'm taking him.
I'm going to take the Phillies going against Jeff. And I will take the Mariners directly against Jeff.
Haters, man. Haters.
Just saying, look at all these haters.
Sometimes
we got to
go. I like to put pressure on you, dog. Like to look you right in your eyes, son.
I wish it was tomorrow and I could just bet on basketball, but we're going to persevere. We're going to bet on baseball. Give me the Orioles again. They first pitch in about an hour. I'm taking the Orioles +1.5, Landfill. They're getting a run and a half against Justin Bieber. So I like my chances.
Against who?
I don't think it's actually Justin, but the pitcher for the Guardians is named Bieber. Is that accurate?
It might be Justin. Yeah.
I think it is accurate. Also, I briefly wanted to mention that the people on Instagram, they're just slandering Jeff Walker, accusing him of carrying around 19 $1 bills.
Jeff, why do you carry around 19 $1 bills?
Landfill posted, so everybody knows, on the B. Mitch and Finley Instagram, Landfill posted a poll in the stories. Somebody is carrying around 19 $1 bills, and you can vote. And overwhelmingly, the results are Jeff Walker. But Landfill, who is carrying around 19 $1 bills?
Me.
Because Jeff just gave it to Landfill.
Everybody just gives me $1 bills. They owe me money. They pay me in ones. I have 19 $1 bills, and I don't know what I'm going to do with them.
Wow. I know one thing you could do with them.
I'll tell you what
to do later on. I was going to say, I got a house you could go to.
Jeff, the fact that it's a house is that much shadier. Landfill, I know what you could do.
What's that?
Two words, brother. Vending machines. All the snacks, man. All the snacks.
I have to get out of the car for that. It's not going to happen.
Scratch off lottery tickets.
Ooh,
how about that?
I like that.
All right. Thank you to everyone that joined the program today. Thank you to everyone that listened to the program today. Grant and Danny coming your way next. You made it this far. Landfill owes you a dollar bill.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.